Hello, welcome to the second episode of the Fibromyalgia Awareness Podcast. And I hope that many of you that have just found this podcast will have been through certain groups and places on Facebook and other social media sites and so on. And you may well be kind of starved of, well, what I call like the no-holds-barred, more refreshing view of being able to talk about what you want to talk about, rather than having been over-policed or thought-policed or told what to say or what you can and can't kind of discuss and so on. So we just want to really continue in that vein. And by the way, if you do have any thoughts, and you know, just contact me directly through the podcast or through the Facebook group, which is basically Fibromyalgia Awareness Podcast. I actually set it up after the last podcast, mainly because I went through a lot of the fibromyalgia groups on Facebook, a lot of which I haven't actually been a member of. And I looked through and there was like lists of questions, lists of like dozen or so of rules and things you kind of can't say, you can't do. You've got to ask permission for this, permission for that. It seemed like it was just the same in almost every single one. A couple of exceptions, I won't name names. But for that reason, and that reason alone, I've just started afresh. So, what I wanted to talk about, first of all here, is, as mentioned in the last episode, how we got started on the road to this kind of drug-fueled prescription medication field situation that we're in at the moment, the one that rules everything. You know, it kind of rules if you get your benefits or not. Some people are really deeply stuck in it and feel that they need it, which is okay. There's no judgment there. There's no kind of body saying, well, this is right or wrong. And I've been there. I spent, God, I don't know, 10 years or so, nearly more, with prescription drugs and painkillers and so on, before I kind of got so sick and got so fed up of it that I realised that, well, you know, there's got to be a different way. So how did it all start? Well, back in, I think about 1910, there was something called the Flexner Report, Alfred Flexner. This was a so-called scientific study report that was undertaken by some very rich kind of corporatist American families, the Rockefeller family and the Carnegie family. And what they did was they got to go into town on anybody that wasn't involved in their new movement, which was like the science of developing chemical drugs. What we now know as allopathic medicine or prescription drugs. And they really started to set out to demonize and to discount any other form of medicine. And how they did this was they went through all the colleges and universities and places that taught different types of medicine. So some may have taught naturopathic medicine, healing, vibrational medicine, homeopathic medicine, herbalism, all different types of things. And they basically set about discrediting all of that by saying, well, you know, what we're doing is based in science and therefore, you know, this is a way forwards. And they set these criteria, really stiff criteria. And because the Rockefellers and the Carnegies had so much money, we're talking about in those days, even millions and millions of dollars in those days, they could determine who got funding and who didn't. So by funding the people that were kind of sycophantic, that just wanted to get on board with them, and just to kind of use that as a means to an end, they would always insist that these Rockefellers and Carnegies, that when they funded a university as a drug-sponsored scientific allopathic cause, that they would have somebody on the board of that university so that they could determine what reports and what studies were written and published as well. So this is why I call it cuckoo medicine, because that time it was a specific kind of corporate agenda, political agenda to take over the healthcare industry, the healthcare world, the whole healthcare arena. And they did so very, very much like cuckoos do. So cuckoos kind of like go into the nests of other birds that are already there, that are already established, and they, you know, they kind of like hack and eat the eggs and, or you know, push the eggs out of the nest, and then they lay their own eggs, which is why, you know, I kind of refer to it as cuckoo medicine. Suppression medicine is another way of saying this. And it's not to kind of denigrate what allopathic medicine has done for us, because they've also given us some very, very important things that, you know, really, truly helped to save many, many lives. But what I'm talking about is for chronic illness. Yeah, because it only treats symptoms. And with a chronic illness, as you know, like fibromyalgia syndrome is a collection of different symptoms and things which come under the area of FMS, which are causes from the gut, the microbiome, from, probably lifelong issues that most of us are dealing with. And so you can suppress the symptoms all day long. And that's basically what they set about doing. Now, 1910 was 110 years ago. So you're listening to this, even your parents, grandparents, possibly your great-grandparents, don't remember or recall or can't talk about whatever was before that time. And that was before, obviously, just after the age of the Industrial Revolution. We know that... That death rates have gone down statistically, but it depends on how you look at it. But in that time, we've grown from a population in the world of about 1.25 to 1.5 billion to 7 billion plus. So it's really hard to make accurate scientific predictions, but yet still allopathic medicine claims to be the great saviour of mankind. We're all living longer and healthier and happier lives. But you can't just take medicine into account. You've got to take diet into account, modern living, radiation, you know, like mobile phone masts, Wi-Fi, everything else. So it's really easy to kind of claim that you are the great saviour. But if you look back and if you look up the Flexner Report, you're going to find a mixture of things. Science will say, oh, it was all good. It was all in the interests of the people. It's like a utilitarian kind of message that, you know, it's for the good of the many. And similar with, like, eugenics and vaccines. This is the same group of people, the Carnegie Rockefellers and others, that practice population control, you know, sterilizing women and women in the Caribbean and men as well, even, and in Africa. Today you've got Bill Gates doing it, Bill and Linda Gates, kind of, you know, kind of carrying on the banner with the vaccine programs. Not all vaccines are bad, but when you're kind of using them on a broad scale, they can, there's a lot of room for debate. And so, yeah, how we got to this point? Well, we've grown up, like I said in the last podcast, we've grown up, we've come up expecting to be vaccinated and to have these drugs given to us and not knowing any different. And what has it given us? It's given us the false kind of safety net of immediate relief from pain, suffering from depression, or just about anything else, but only in terms of the symptoms. You know, so, you know, if you're in a lot of pain, they can give you some codeine, get some morphine or whatever. You know, 10 minutes later, I'm fine again now, I'm fine. Although the underlying cause goes untreated. And this is why I believe it's so important with fibromyalgia to understand that you can deal with your symptoms and suppress your symptoms or you can start to learn and educate yourself, just like I've done and many, many others I know have done as well, is to take full responsibility for your own healthcare needs. Yeah, there may be some things that you can't make or do yourself, but to be dependent on a system that is just set up for profit, as we know it is, isn't really going to help to heal you. So how we think about the future of healthcare, modern healthcare medicine, well, it's starting to break down because there's a new paradigm coming along, a new paradigm, a new way of looking at things, and it involves different natural and plant medicines and things as well, as we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. There's many, many things, and with fibromyalgia, you find that it's a combination of everything in the body. That there's neurological symptoms, there's mental symptoms, anxiety and depression, there's physical central nervous system, pain symptoms, muscular symptoms, myofascial tissues, there's digestive and gut health system. There's everything, skin, hair, it can affect the whole, every atom in your body. And so you're going to find that, yeah, there's a lot for us to talk about, and a lot of my guests are going to be talking about different things to do with fibro, all the different symptoms as well. So how to go forwards and how to go ahead? Well, if you're exploring new areas for the first time, then you may want to think about stepping outside of the normal arenas. So if you are reliant, if you have been, like I was, reliant on allopathic medicine, prescription drugs for many, many years, it's going to be really, really scary. It's going to be hellishly scary to think about stepping outside of that. This is because a lot of allopathic prescription medications cause direct or indirect dependency issues. I mean, I found that, and it was the hardest thing to deal with. You know, and people will use that against you with a prejudice at times. You know, they'll kind of say, well, you know, this person's on a lot of drugs or whatever, this person's on love. You know, they'll try and make that an issue, which is something that we're probably used to dealing with, like fibre warriors, fibre people. We're used to misunderstanding. We're used to people's prejudice, we're used to ignorance, we're also used to some people understanding us, we're also used to some people bringing us sympathy and empathy and healing and caring as well. So it's not all bad, but you've got to remember that where it starts is with you yourself. So a lot of the podcasts, a lot of what we talk about and the guests talk about will be about taking full responsibility, taking matters into your own hands often. And this doesn't mean that you can't go to an allopathic doctor or a specialist or whatever. It doesn't mean to say that you can't use allopathic drugs. You know, it doesn't mean to say, but using them less sparingly or just intermittently at times where your symptoms peak badly is not necessarily a bad thing. But in the meantime, you're going to develop strategies and to use natural medicine and natural plants and herbs and supplements and things to take away and to lessen the spikes of your reactions to your fibro symptoms. And again, want to talk to you as well about thinking about fibro not necessarily as your enemy, not necessarily as like the bad neighbour next door or somebody who lives next door that's up all night kind of playing loud music and you know, kind of making your life a misery. But how, if you befriended that neighbour, if you befriended that and kind of said, well, I'll call a truce with you, you know, rather than kind of constantly suppressing you with drugs and things, I might just try and treat you to a few things naturally that will help you just to quieten down enough so you can tell me what your problem is. Why are you up all night, metaphorically, making these noises? What is it? And then you can start to have a conversation. I think in an age where we're all so cut off, many of us in community, in a community sense, from the people that live with or live around, it's so easy to forget what's going on around you or just to ignore it. Where you can plug into the internet, you can plug into your phone or your iPad, immediately be transported across the world to some other kind of like internet kind of immediate fantasy realm. You know, videos, blogs, all kinds of stuff. You just got, it's never ending. You could literally cut yourself off. But if you think about who's next door, who's right there next to you, they could be suffering just as badly. And that could be a message from you, from your body, from your mind, from your soul, saying, well, you know what? I've done this for 5 years now. I've done this for 10 years. And I'm just about thinking I've had enough right now. And so, how did I get here? How did I get to talking about this? Well, as I said before, fibromyalgia came on for me over many, many years. And the people that I met recently and more recently, I've already talked about. But there had to be a point where this whole thing became of use to different people from different walks of life, some from all class backgrounds, different parts of life. And there's so many people I meet day in, day out, week in, week out. And it doesn't matter whom they are, but they're still going to be suffering with pain and fatigue and problems. Now, the main thing that I've learned recently is around how people want to manage and control their fibromyalgia. Because this is very dependent upon where you live, what resources are available to you, whether they are available to you or not, because some of you may live in the USA or Canada, wherever, you can get your hands on all types of treatments and things now, depending on your insurance or how much money you have or where you live. You know, so for instance, in North America, you could have medical marijuana, cannabis, cannabis oil, CBD oil. You could have all types of therapies and treatments, different clinics. And obviously, it's very much more progressive. You could also have access to ketamine therapy for help for depression, for anxiety, for repeated pain issues. You may well have other types of, I know a lot of states now, psilocybin's legal, and is also for, you know, kind of post-traumatic stress disorder related to fibromyalgia. There's also MDMA therapy, and then you've got many, many, many other different forms as well. The list just goes on and on and on. But right now, you're thinking about how you want to manage this, yeah, for yourself, really. For your own symptoms, for your own causes, you're going to have to think about where you are in the world and what's available to you. I know some people that are listening to this that know me and that know where we are in the UK and in England and Britain. They will be just kind of like, you know, kind of fastidiously stuck to their GP, general practitioner or doctor, and they will only want to take the doctor's drugs. They'll only want to take opiates, painkillers, gabapentin, even some will take amitriptyline. They'll take anything that will kind of that they think will work, and different things for all the different kind of symptoms. But we really are living in separate realms in some ways, massively. So much in separate realms, you're dealing with fibromyalgia. I know people that will medicate, self-medicate in so many different ways. It just really is very, very diverse. So it can seem like a two-dimensional subject. It can seem like a dualistic thing. Stay well or not so well using medications, or try and use other means and relieve some symptoms. But there is a new paradigm coming along. And the thing that you've got to realize is that, well, you know, people say they've tried everything, but you necessarily haven't. What we've got to realize is there are different methods, like I've learnt myself, such as working with immunotherapy. Immuno itself, whether you're talking about GCMAF, that's glyco-derived macrophage activating factors, which is a natural protein in the human body, is a natural thing that you won't find because it can't be easily so commercially marketed and sold. But it's very, very freely available if you know where to look. And that will encourage your body to fight off many of the symptoms and to die down a lot of the symptoms. Now, currently, the outward science of it isn't so advanced, and you can, like with ME or CFS, you can maybe expect about 60-odd% of fibromyalgia symptoms, or even fibromyalgia can be kind of healed and cured. But there's always going to be some things that you can't, it won't quite reach yet. You can think about helping with some symptoms, but other things aren't going to work. There's about 60-odd diseases and illnesses that GCMAF will treat, that will kind of help the body to fight back, because all it does is really just encourage the body to fight for itself. And that's all you need, really. You don't always necessarily need a magic pill or a magic procedure, but you just need the body to be able to fight whatever's going on itself. And, you know, if you can do that, then that's got to be the best way forwards. Allow your own body to do what it needs to do right there, right then, right now, without having to kind of think about pills and drugs and kind of everything else or whatever kind of treatment. Why not just employ your body's natural defense system to kick out the disease in the first place? That's got to be, surely it's got to be the best solution. But it's not a profitable solution for drug companies, because they can't patent it. If it's a GCMAF comes from the human body, you can't patent it, you can't sell it, you can't market it or anything else. So, you know, that's why it's been demonized and kind of denigrated, and that's why I said it doesn't work. But really does work. I've done 2.5 months of it, and I've had only just like small kind of like daily probiotic dose of it. And tell you what, it's cleared up so many symptoms. There's still other things I need to work on, but you know, it's not the only tool, but it is definitely a good way of you know, finding ways to reduce all of your symptoms. Some of them maybe like the mental and emotional symptoms like depression and anxiety, but you can, you know, come bet your bottom dollar that it's better to try something like that, like I did, and to try and get some relief of many symptoms or some symptoms, than it is to just sit there and say, well, I've tried everything, nothing works. And you know, it's easy to say I've tried everything, but you know, none of us will ever have tried everything. There will always be something else that we haven't tried, that we don't know about, we're not sure about. And every week, every month that goes past, I find two or three things. I find several things that which are like, well, oh, I never knew about that. You know, in all these years, I never knew about this. I never knew about that either. I didn't know what monatomic gold was. I didn't know what NADH was. I have no idea what cystosynchronous T was. I had no idea what GCMAF was. None of it was really, you know, common knowledge. But little by little, there you can find certain clues and things as well. And so if anybody ever asks me, you know, what have you done for your fibromyalgia, which they rarely do, I'd say, well, I've done everything I can find so far, but in future there's possibly going to be other stuff that I don't even know about. So I'm really kind of open to learn about it and to say, well, I won't prejudice anything, or I won't say nothing kind of works or doesn't work until at least I've had the chance to try it for myself. So, I'll deliberately keep this episode short. And to say as well that in future episodes, I'm going to discuss more about the microbiome and the gut and gut health, and about GCMAF and about the immunotherapy, and about making your own body the main tool that you have to try to recover. Because there's many things, there's different disciplines, there's exercise and regular exercise and building your strength. There's moist heat, there's supplements, there's different things. There's a number of different categories of things that you can use. And you have to do them as a discipline. You have to do them all together. You can't just like think it's like a pill or a formula that you're just going to have to swallow or drink, like, you know, Alice in Wonderland. You've got to have to be on the ball all the time and, you know, particularly constantly working at that. So thank you for listening for now. And if you do get into Facebook, yeah, look us up, Fibromyalgia Awareness Podcast group. There's a group on Facebook now. And Twitter and Instagram and everything else will follow very soon. There's a few good people there already. And if you're there already, you know who you are. Thank you very much for joining with me. And we're going to have some interviews and some chats very soon with some very good people. So once again, thank you very much for listening. And I shall talk to you again very soon. Good night. Goodbye. Any and all information given on the Fibromyalgia Awareness Podcast is not intended to be taken as serious professional advice. If you need professional medical advice, go to your healthcare professional, go to your doctor, your GP, your specialist, or whomever is in the establishment. And please take anything that we say, anything that I say or my guests say, as something which you can look into. As an intelligent, sentient human being, you are probably already aware of this information, and you do not have to take anything I or anybody else say as the whole truth. It is only one aspect of the truth. If there is information, things that are suggested, recommended, or whatever, we're not linked to any kind of commercial interest or advertising or anything like that. So please go away, think about the thing, do your own research on the internet, read up on it, ask other people, but don't take our opinions as advice. Thank you very much for listening.